Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up in exactly 1 hour, we'll be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. I haven't talked to Mitch in a long time. I miss hearing his voice. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I have one thought for every team in the AFC with a winning record. We will go over my thoughts. I will share them with you. It will be fun. I also have a question about the NFL and its policies that are not very clear to me that I would like to do as well. Before we get to all of those things, I appreciate you listening. I am happy to be back. I feel so much better than I felt last week. I have been taking Sudafed and prescription cough syrup, and I am back to the road of recovery. Rob, my first question today related to the Kansas City Chiefs is going to be, why can't Mecole Hardman be Cordarrelle Patterson? Yesterday, I'm watching Red Zone because I don't know why I would primarily watch the Falcons play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I value my time much more than that. And I'm looking at how Cordarrelle Patterson is used. He doesn't have a position. Cordarrelle Patterson is just football player. He has a good offensive mind in Arthur Smith, who you and I both really liked when he was the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans last year. And look at what he did for Ryan Tannehill. And Cordarrelle Patterson has just been a guy leading up to this point. Now he's turning into a legitimate offensive weapon. He's carried the ball 93 times this year for over 400 yards and has 4.4 yards per carry. The Chiefs could use somebody who averaged 4.4 yards per carry, could they not? You could use a guy who has a little explosiveness and can break a big play out of the backfield. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Mecole Hardman play running back at Georgia before making the transition to wide receiver? So he knows the position. He understands the position. Cordarrelle Patterson also is used as a wide receiver. This year, Cordarrelle Patterson has 93 carries for 411 rushing yards and four touchdowns. He has 41 catches for 500 yards and five touchdowns. The Falcons have unlocked a weapon. He's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson is what Sean Payton thinks that Taysom Hill is. He's going to have probably 700 yards receiving and 700 yards rushing. He's Darren Sproles. Why can't the Chiefs do that with Mecole Hardman? We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because I wasn't here and I was sick. Mecole Hardman is in his final days of being on the Kansas City Chiefs with the way they're currently using him. You know what Mitch always calls me? Snap count dot? Look at the snap counts. Look who ain't getting on the field. I don't want to hear this. No matchups. No. Mecole Hardman is no longer on the field. They no longer have him running routes. They tried to make him a number two wide receiver, and he's not a number two wide receiver. You know what he could potentially be? A gadget player. He could be a really productive, do-everything gadget player. But you got to be committed to it. You got to be willing to see it through. You got to be willing to give him the carries to see if it works. They've given it to him five times out of the backfield. You're not getting the most out of it. Is he ever going to live up to the draft pick? Probably not. But can someone answer for me why he can't be Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, at this point, it's over, I would say, as a wide receiver. The last 2 weeks against the Las Vegas Raiders, Mecole Hardman had 24 offensive snaps. Against Dallas, he had 12. They're done throwing him the football. He's not getting targets, not being used, and he's not in the running game or really the kick or punt return game. He's just there, just taking up space. So, Rob, my first Chiefs thought is what's stopping them from trying to see if he's Cordarrelle Patterson? They still don't have an explosive running back. Maybe that option is trying to give Mecole 5 to 7 carries a game and taking those carries away from other people. I motion for them to at least give it a try. That's my first suggestion of the day.
I would argue the Chiefs are already quietly doing that. He doesn't really run traditional routes that often anymore. We had the stat earlier this season that he went, 2 weeks where all his pass catches came behind the line of scrimmage.
And he was actually kind of effective doing that.
Yeah, if they start using him in the reverse game and maybe the screen game, maybe he's never the traditional running back the way Cordarrelle Patterson is. But I would say what you're asking the Chiefs to do with Mecole Hardman, they're kind of already doing. I don't think they use him as a real wide receiver anymore. I think that's why they were in on Josh Gordon. I think that's why they were in on OBJ. I think that's why they're chasing their tail at number two wideout is because they've accepted Mecole Hardman's probably Cordarrelle Patterson.
A lot of people on the text line are making the point about size, and Cordarrelle Patterson is a bigger human being than what Mecole Hardman is. Like, Cordarrelle's my height, so about 6'2", 6'3", and 225. Obviously a much bigger human being than I am. That's not what Mecole Hardman is. Like, he is not a big person. So why can't he be Deebo Samuel then? Like, they're not using him in the same ways that Deebo Samuel's being used. Now, Deebo gets targets, and they also give him the football. They gave him 6 rushes in their last game. He had 6 carries in their last game for 66 yards and scored twice. Then they threw it to him 4 times. He only had 1 catch. I don't really sense a whole lot of creativity and trying to make it work with Mecole Hardman. They tried it for those couple of weeks where he was kind of a gadget player, and it seems like now that's sort of stopped. Like, they're not really committed to making him a gadget player. He seems to be in purgatory. If I had to guess, I think this is Mecole Hardman's last season in Kansas City. The same way that the Chiefs take on other teams' failed first or second round picks, and we call that the Veach special. How you sign a DeAndre Baker, you sign a Mike Hughes, or we can go through the names, Damian Lee, Damian Wilson. He is going to be somebody else's Veach special. They're moving on from Mecole Hardman at the end of the season. I think the writing is clearly on the wall that it has not worked. He is not a centerpiece of their offense in the way they thought he could be. No one would presume him that he's going to take over for anybody's spot. It's now year 3. He's still firmly behind in the depth chart to even DeMarcus Robinson. It's over. This is the end of Mecole Hardman in a Chiefs uniform, in my opinion. Now, let me give Brett Veach a little credit. And you know how positive words for Brett Veach kind of taste like vinegar in my mouth, but I'm going to do my best here. The Chiefs got the right pass rusher at the deadline. They got the right pass rusher. Think about it, Rob. There were 3 pass rushers that got traded over the deadline, right? Or got moved. One was Whitney Mercilus, who was available as a free agent. And I was banging the drum, go get him, go get him, go get him. It made sense. He signed a free agent deal with the Green Bay Packers. He got hurt 2 weeks later. Now, not saying that was a bad move by the Packers. The injury dice rolled snake eyes. You crapped out. But Whitney Mercilus is now not helping the Green Bay Packers. You would have lost in that scenario. Von Miller, first ballot Hall of Famer. It was a major shock when Von Miller got traded, right? Got traded for a decent pick. Still presumed to have a little bit left in the tank. He has 0 sacks. Von Miller has not made an impact. There was another pass rusher who got moved. Melvin Ingram. Instant impact. Has instantly changed this defense. Has allowed Chris Jones to move to his natural position. And this defensive line is playing its best football. I'm not saying that's all Melvin Ingram, because Frank Clark also got healthy. But I was saying the first 2 weeks, 2 months of the season, if we're going to move Chris Jones to the inside, you have to be able to answer the question, well, who takes this spot? They answered that question with the best available person, and it's worked. So I want to give Brett Veach's credit. Everybody was trying to find pass rush at that point. The Chiefs got it right. The Rams would be better if they had got Melvin Ingram over Von Miller. The Packers would be better if they had got Melvin Ingram over Whitney Mercilus. The Chiefs got Melvin Ingram, and he has been a godsend for them. He's been 2021 Mike Pinnell. All the things that you guys felt and said about Mike Pinnell, that's what Melvin Ingram's doing for this team. That's on Veach. I got to give Veach his credit here. We don't always see eye to eye. I don't always like all the moves, but I got to give credit where credit's due, and I'm going to give my credit on the addition of Melvin Ingram. You gave up a sixth-round pick. I know Rob will make you seem like that's some Willy Wonka golden ticket that you're going to turn into Tom Brady every time. But you turned it into a pass rush that helps you in 2021 and is a reason that you have got back on course and now appear to be the favorite in the AFC. That's a win. That's a win. And Brett Veach deserves a lot of credit for getting it right. If I'm going to crush him when he gets it wrong, I got to give him credit when he gets it right. He got it right. Coming up, I will give you one thought about every team in the AFC who currently has a winning record. We'll do that next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can see the future. We'll talk about it in 30 minutes. You guys remember that show, That's So Raven? That's basically an autobiographical depiction of my life. I'm going to explain that in about 30 minutes. I also wonder if you guys have ever traveled anywhere. Like, you guys is like the city as a whole. Because I'm starting to see some signs and evidence that some of you have never been anywhere. And I'll explain what I mean coming up in a minute as well. Mitch Holthus will be on the show coming up at 4. I'm very excited to talk to Mitch. But right now, I'm going to give you one take on every AFC team with a winning record, other than the Chiefs. So there are currently 12 teams in the AFC who are 500 or better. I will give you an opinion about all of those teams right now.
Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown.
We will start your thoughts with your favorite former team, the Los Angeles Chargers. They took an L over the weekend in Denver. They now have a mega matchup next week at noon in Cincinnati against Joe Burrow and co. Justin Herbert's group in second in the AFC West, C-Dot.
That's how we're starting this?
I thought, get out of the way early. They're in division.
I was wrong. That's my number one thought. That's not the thought, but the number one thought is I was wrong. And the moment I switched, I realized I had made a mistake, but there was no going back. And I've paid dearly for it ever since I've made the prediction. I will say this about Justin Herbert, and we'll talk about this more in depth later. Almost every quarterback in the AFC is worse this year than they were last year. And I think we all fell a little bit victim to games without fans. And I think Herbert might have been the biggest beneficiary this side of Josh Allen of not playing in front of people. He is not improved. I thought he was in line to take that second year step. Mahomes took the step. Lamar Jackson took the step. Remember, Carson Wentz took that big step. Kyler Murray took a step. I thought that Herbert was in line to take a big step forward. He has not taken a step forward. He has thrown as many interceptions this year as he did last year. His completion percentage is down from last year. He's just making more mistakes. They lost that game yesterday because their quarterback wasn't good enough. It wasn't because of their defense. And their defense has been bad this season for a majority of the year. They lost that game because their quarterback wasn't good enough. For a guy who has been put on the level of he's next up, that he's going to be one of those guys, that he's a franchise guy, Burrow has improved. Burrow's better than he was last year. You can't say the same about Justin Herbert.
Pass play down the middle to go, and it's there. That's DeSean Jackson tiptoeing for the touchdown.
We'll stay in division. Everyone thought they were floundering, but the Raiders over the Thanksgiving weekend went on the road and beat the Dallas Cowboys. They are now third in the AFC West, and they have a matchup this upcoming weekend with the Washington football team at home. Carrington, I know everyone thought the Raiders were going to Raider, but do you think they are on the way back up?
I want to know how someone can give you $100 million and it doesn't seem to matter whether you're present or not present. The Raiders lost their coach in the middle of the season. Do the Raiders look any different? Do they appear to be any better or any worse for it than they did? You want to talk about a poor allocation of funds. If you get paid $100 million, there better be some effects of you not being there, and there don't appear to be many of those effects. That's a side note, too. The officiating in that Cowboys and Raiders game was some of the worst I've ever seen. The Raiders, basically, on Thanksgiving, ran the let's pray for a pass interference on third down play and got it four times. Especially the last one. The last one, the wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, grabbed the Raiders player. Or the Cowboys guy. He grabbed him into him, and they called a penalty on Dallas. Yes, I'm salty because I got my first strike in Survivor because of that game. But yeah, my biggest thought on the Raiders is they are no different after firing your coach who made $100 million. If that doesn't go to show you that you made the wrong decision, I don't know what is.
Picked off! Surtain up the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown.
The team no one believes in this division and maybe in the entire AFC, the Denver Broncos, are only a game out of first place in the AFC West with a mega Sunday night football matchup upcoming against the Kansas City Chiefs. Carrington, should we be believers in the Denver Broncos?
No, we shouldn't be believers in the Denver Broncos, but I'll say this, though. I think this and the quarterback change really goes to show you that sometimes, even by not making improvements at the quarterback position, if you stop turning it over, that's enough. Last year, Drew Lock had 11 interceptions up to this point. Teddy Bridgewater has 5 interceptions to this point. So I would say that they haven't gotten better quarterback play in terms of what their ceiling is, but they protect the football more, so therefore you retain possession and give your team the opportunity. And when Patrick Surtain has been healthy, he has lived up to being a top 10 pick. He was fantastic yesterday. So the Broncos are about what we thought they were. They're not great at the quarterback position, and Bridgewater hasn't been fantastic, but Bridgewater doesn't turn the ball over. Therefore, you have a greater expectation game in and game out on what your quarterback's going to be. You've got good skill position players. You've got a good enough defense. I don't think the Broncos are talented enough to make the playoffs. I think they'll win 7-8 games and sort of peter out because they're not good enough at the top end. But this just goes to show you that sometimes if you can just get a quarterback that cuts down on the turnovers, it gives you a chance to win.
Taylor will sky and take it in, and they cash in a 2-yard leap. And the Colts have gone up by a count of 23-7.
We'll head to the AFC South for everyone's November darlings, the Indianapolis Colts, who yesterday did take a loss at the hands of Tom Brady and the Bucks. But Carrington, are they starting to look like the team Jay Binkley told you was a threat to the Chiefs back in August?
Turn the music down. I want to say this because I just want to see your face. If the Indianapolis Colts make the playoffs, Jonathan Taylor should be strongly considered for NFL MVP. They are only in this situation because of their running back. The all-pro running backs are locked up. One is Derrick Henry. I don't care that he got injured. Derrick Henry was one of the two best running backs in the NFL this season. The other one is already cemented. It's Jonathan Taylor. It's Jonathan Taylor. I know what Rob's going to say. You can't be valuable because you play the running back position. If the Colts end up making the playoffs, and they have a very realistic chance of doing it right now, they are a half game back of making the playoffs, Jonathan Taylor should win NFL MVP. There's no quarterback right now that is deserving of winning NFL MVP. And I say that even about Patrick Mahomes up to this point. At some point, somebody else has to win the award. Or let's just rename it who's the best quarterback in the league award. And let's be done with it. The most valuable player in the league up to this point has been a running back, and it's the running back of the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor. That's my one thought on the Colts.
Tannehill protected well this time and completes. A.J. Brown breaking free. Brown is in. Touchdown.
Another team that relies heavily on their running back, the Tennessee Titans, are currently the best team record-wise in the AFC. Carrington, considering they don't have your proclaimed all-pro running back, Derrick Henry, can they hold together in the AFC?
COVID and injuries have torn the Titans apart. Right now, Ryan Tannehill doesn't have Derrick Henry, their best skill position player, doesn't have A.J. Brown, their second best skill position player, doesn't have Julio Jones, their third best position player, and oh yeah, they don't have their best defensive player named Bud Dupree because he also is on injured reserve. The Titans are falling apart right in front of our eyes. They're still going to make the playoffs because they have the necessary tiebreakers. And their schedule is light enough that they'll still get the 10 wins. And they should still win the division because it's going to be very hard for Indianapolis to finish with a better record than Tennessee. And they don't have the tiebreaker because the Titans beat them both times. But right now, the main concern for the Titans is you got to get healthy. Because in a really competitive AFC, what's really tipped the balance is you don't have your four best players.
That has time, directs traffic. Time for Pat Freiermuth for the touchdown, Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, we head to the AFC North, are one of those teams that are 500 or better. They are coming off getting thrashed by the Cincinnati Bengals, and now they have a big Nance and Romo 325 CBS game at home against the Ravens. Carrington, is Sunday the last gasp for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I mean, the last gasp was when they decided to let Ben Roethlisberger keep his key card. They should have taken his key card away, and they should have made a much better push this offseason to go improve at the quarterback position. You cannot win with the quarterback that they have. You can't. You cannot win at a high level with the quarterback that the Pittsburgh Steelers have. it changes everything that they want to do offensively because no one is afraid of their quarterback and his ability to push the ball downfield. If you have a bottom five quarterback the way that they do, you aren't winning anything of consequence. Listen to the, you know, I'm a big completion percentage and yards per attempt guy, right? These are the quarterbacks who are behind Ben Roethlisberger in yards per attempt. Davis Mills, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Jared Goff, Trevor Siemian, Trevor Lawrence. Those are the quarterbacks in the NFL around you in yards per attempt. You stink. The hardest thing to do in the NFL is to tell your franchise quarterback no. They were incapable of doing it, and now they're paying the price because their team isn't built in a way to overcome the glaring deficiency that they have at the quarterback position, which is the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger. It's over.
First and 10, going deep, looking for Higgins, and caught! Touchdown! What a play! Beating James Pierre!
Well, the team that did the thrashing of the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend, the Cincinnati Bengals, they are in second in the AFC North. And as I mentioned earlier, a matchup this weekend with the Los Angeles Chargers. They at one point were the best team in the AFC, then fell out of favor. Carrington, which version of the Bengals are real?
I like this version of the Cincinnati Bengals. I still believe the Bengals are probably a year away, but I will say this. They took a major step forward that I was not anticipating them doing. I've been really impressed with the Cincinnati Bengals and what they've done so far this season. You want to know what the Bengals did? They have invested around the quarterback position. They've put their quarterback in a chance to have success. He has a capable running back in Joe Mixon. You've got two high-end wide receivers in Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase, who I think should win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but they'll probably give it to Mac Jones because they always give it to quarterbacks. And T. Higgins is a really strong number two. Everybody was saying, go invest in the offensive line. They invested in the best offensive player in the draft, and it's playing major dividends. And I think that their team is sort of taking Burrow's attitude. Did you see the interception that Burrow threw where he was kind of going back and forth with the Steelers guy? That showed a level of toughness that I think your team sort of rallies around when it comes to your quarterback. Burrow has been exactly what that organization has needed. I've been really impressed with the Bengals. I think they've been one of the biggest surprises in the NFL this year.
Jackson points, throws it downfield. Andrews got free. Lamar couldn't get it to him, but he caught it anyway. Even with being pulled down by Ronnie Harrison.
Well, despite being the IR All-Stars, the Baltimore Ravens continue to be the leader in the AFC North. They're coming off a win on Sunday Night Football against the Cleveland Browns. And as I mentioned, a matchup this weekend with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Carrington, considering their injuries, can they hold on and continue to be one of the better teams in the AFC?
I think right now the Ravens' biggest problem is they're asking Lamar Jackson to do too much, and I think he's sort of crumbling under it. The last five games for Lamar, he is completing 61% of his passes, which is not good. He has more interceptions than touchdowns. He has a 6.2 yards per attempt, which is abysmal. That team only works if their quarterback is going to be Superman. He has not been Superman, and you have seen very middling returns. Last night's Baltimore Ravens team would have lost to any team with a capable quarterback. The Browns just don't seem to have one.
Mayfield's going that way, and the pass for Njoku. Still waiting on a signal as it was close by the ground. Njoku's ready to celebrate, still waiting for that signal. And have they said touchdown? They have for the moment.
Well, as you mentioned, the team that lost to the Baltimore Ravens last night, the Cleveland Browns, they have a bye week this upcoming week, but the three games after that are Ravens at home, Raiders at home, and at the Packers. Can you take your victory lap now about the Cleveland Browns?
Do you remember that scene in Rush Hour where Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan were in the car and he was like, I don't care, I'm here for the girl. And he was like, the girl don't like you. Nobody likes you. That's how I feel right now towards Baker Mayfield. Odell Beckham Sr. don't like you. Kareem Hunt Sr. don't like you. Nobody likes you. At what point will the Browns realize that the problem is their quarterback? Now, one side of me feels sorry for Baker Mayfield. He's clearly not 100%, and he's trying to play through it. It's a shoulder thing. It's a foot thing. It's a knee thing. It's a lot going on physically with Baker Mayfield, and he's trying to push through it. But completion percentage is 62%, which is not good. He has 11 touchdown passes this season. They're not good enough at quarterback. That roster appears to be ready. They've got weapons on both sides of the football. He just doesn't appear to be ready. The number one storyline this offseason is going to be, what do the Browns do with Baker Mayfield? Because on one side, he is the best quarterback that they've had in 20 years. And they clearly are a better team with Baker Mayfield than they've been, again, over the last 20 years. But I think they've hit a ceiling on what they can do. Right now, the Browns are a 8-9-win football team with their quarterback. Maybe they're fine with that, given how the last 20 years have gone. They are not a 12-13 legitimate Super Bowl contending team with their current quarterback situation. And Baker has cost himself a lot of money. At this point, I think the Browns' best play is going to be keeping Baker for one more year on an $18 million contract and starting to play it the way that the Washington did with Kirk Cousins and the way Dallas did with Dak Prescott.
From the seven, Allen swings it underneath, taken in, and to the goal line and in for Dawson Knox, and a Buffalo touchdown.
No team in the AFC has been more hot and cold than the Buffalo Bills. They are coming off a Thanksgiving Day win over the New Orleans Saints and have a mega matchup on Monday Night Football next week with the New England Patriots. Carrington, as I mentioned, they're hot and cold. Which version of the Bills is real?
That is a great question. I think New England is going to win that division. I think some of it is the regression of the quarterback position, and Josh Allen isn't nearly as good this year as he was 2 years ago. And I'm starting to play a little bit of the schedule game with Buffalo. Now, I am guilty of this too because I ran to crown Buffalo. If Buffalo's best win is a quote broken end quote Kansas City Chiefs team, okay. New England is not broken. Going on the road against Tampa, another team that's not broken. This is a really telling month for the Buffalo Bills. Their next four games, New England, at Tampa, home against Carolina, on the road against New England. I think they're going to be a wild card team. They feel like the fifth or the sixth seed to me. I think New England is a better version of what Buffalo is trying to be.
Third and goal. Holden releases. Jones up in the air. It's caught. Bourne, touchdown. Bourne ready.
Well, the final team in the AFC that is 500 or better that we have not mentioned is the aforementioned New England Patriots. They are currently the national media's flavor of the month. Do you believe Belichick got those boys back to being the best team in the AFC?
Rob, sit back and pour me up a great big picture of Patriots Kool-Aid, because I'm drinking it. I love this Patriots team. I love them. I think they're the second best team in the NFL right now. The Patriots do three things well. They run the football well, and it doesn't appear to matter who the running back is. They just run it really well. They're the best defensive team, according to the numbers in the NFL. They're second in turnover differential. They're at plus 10. In turnover differential. They have 25 takeaways this year. That's a formula to beat a lot of teams. They run the ball well. They play good defense. They can take the ball away. And we know they're extremely well coached. Belichick heard the whispers and the murmurs last year while Brady was doing his thing. Some of you question if Belichick could coach or not. He's showing you that he can. He's showing you that he can. I don't know why that was really ever in question, but I was in doubt. But Belichick's really good at this. Last year, they got hit hard by COVID. They got hit hard by opt-outs. Belichick went to Kraft, said, yeah, we need to spend money in free agency. The Kendrick Bourne signing looks amazing. They got the quarterback that they wanted. And they're the second hottest team in the NFL. I'm super high on this Patriots team. Big picture of Kool-Aid when it comes to the New England Patriots. Coming up in a little bit, I can see the future. I'll tell you how I can see the future. Can anyone explain how the NFL works to me? So the last Chiefs game, right? We all saw it. I saw the numbers. We all saw it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire points at a guy. Didn't flip the guy off. Just pointed at the guy, right? Penalty. Large fine. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got fined $10,000. Now, I understand that they make a lot of money, so we don't really feel bad for them. But the fact that the NFL has normalized taking $10,000 out of players' pockets for the dumbest things should really infuriate us more than it does. But I'm not asking anybody to cry poverty for these guys, but $10,000 for pointing out a player is nuts. He should have flipped him off if that was the case. He just should have used another finger. It was the same price. He just should have done that. Rashad Fenton simulated firing a gun. They got in that little scrum on the sideline. He got pushed away. He started letting the yapper sing to him as he was running back. He got fined $5,000 for that. Now, Rob, I'm not a smart man. I'm not. But what seems like the worst infraction? Is it simulating firing a gun at the opposing team's sideline or pointing at the opposition? If we're going to flag them for the 15 yards, we also got to take money out of their pocket? We got to do both? The 15-yard penalty isn't enough? The 15-yard penalty isn't enough? We got to take 10 grand? We got to take $5,000 out of Rashad Fenton's hands? He ain't made real money yet in the league. We just got to take 5 grand out of his pocket? For that, the penalty wasn't enough? I just want to understand it. I don't understand. You're smarter than me, Rob. Maybe you understand it. How we've normalized taking 5 figures out of guys' pockets. How simulating firing a weapon is a lesser penalty than pointing at a guy. Who wants the NFL legislated this way? Who asked for this? They didn't ask me. They asked you. Some of you who are season ticket holders, they sent like a questionnaire that you guys had to answer about the NFL that you wanted to see, because I wasn't a part of that. We wanted guys to get penalized for pointing at each other. I mean, I understand you can't simulate firing a weapon. I kind of get that. I mean, was a little over the top. But I felt like the 15-yard penalty and the clear scolding from Patrick Mahomes was enough. I mean, Pat grabbed Rashad Fenton like he was a kid acting out at Walmart. Bring your ass over here. Started talking to him. He was clearly unhappy with Rashad Fenton. I just want to know how we signed up for this. Coming up on the other side, I can see the future. I'll tell you how I know. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I appreciate you listening. Coming up in exactly 15 minutes, we will be joined by Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holthus will be on the show coming up in just a little bit. Someone on the text line says, hey, C-Dot, how is that pick of the Chargers to win the AFC West going? Terribly. I kind of question is that. It's not going well. It was a terrible decision. I almost immediately regretted it. Sean Barber actually just texted me and said, how do you like the Patriots? Not, I didn't say that. If I had to give my top three teams in the NFL right now, I would put my top three teams as Kansas City 1, New England 2, Green Bay 3. I think those are currently the three best teams in the NFL. But I don't want to talk about that. What I want to tell you guys is I can see the future. I can see the future. Just 2 weeks ago on this show, I told you how the KU season was going to go. I remember hearing myself say it. Now, of course, Rob didn't save it after I explicitly said, Rob, save this so I can be right. And he was like, oh, I got you. No worries. And I was like, Rob, I want you to play this so I can go back and tell people exactly what I knew about the Kansas Jayhawks. Every KU basketball season goes exactly the same. They start off preseason in the top 10. They'll get a big win that will get you guys all excited. And you'll be like, this is their ceiling. They can win the national championship. Look, they beat Michigan State, or they beat Duke, or they beat Ohio State, or they beat some random team on a neutral site, a random good team on a neutral site. They'll then play a team that they're clearly better than in non-conference. They'll then lose to that team. They'll lose. You guys will act all woe is me for no reason. And then you'll rebound in that same preseason tournament, Maui or Battle of Atlantis or whatever it is. You'll rebound and everything will be okay. At some point in the non-con, Bill Self will either call the team or a player soft, or he'll question his team's ability to guard people, will go into conference play. You lose one game you're not supposed to lose. I don't know who it's going to be to. Texas Tech, TCU. Oh, KU loves to lose on the road to Oklahoma State. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like in the bylaws of the conference. They're just going to lose on the road at Oklahoma State. Doesn't matter who's on KU's team or who's on their team. I think Phil Forte is still playing for Oklahoma State, which he is the superest senior we've ever seen in my entire life. And you'll win the Big 12. Holly Rowe will be there when you win it. They'll bring out all the trophies. You might win the Big 12 tournament. It kind of depends on if you guys need to win it or not for the one or the two seed. And then you're going to lose in the Sweet 16 to a four seed. Like, we know how, like, why are we arguing about this? I don't have any jokes for KU. We play KU bingo every single year. I'm trying to figure out when Remy Martin's going to get compared to Sherron Collins and Frank Mason, because we know that's coming. And then at one point, they'll win a game in the Big 12, and KU fans will ask, is this the best team that Bill's ever had? Like, we do this every year. It's the Groundhog's Day effect. I'm tired of making fun of KU. I don't have anything new. We do the same thing every year. So I try to charge my jokes up to when it really hits the most. It doesn't matter making fun of you in November. I don't have any jokes. It was a good game against Dayton. It was an exciting finish. Kid made a shot. It'll be fine. I try to save my jokes to March when they really matter, when they're really important. I don't have any jokes today. I don't have anything negative to say. But we do this every year. Every single year, it's the same thing with KU. Right? We do this every year.
I mean, the thing we're not getting this year is for a long time, we got the Danny Manning made Big Man X a star. We don't have that anymore. The bingo cards changed a little bit.
Yo, David McCormick, I don't know how you guys do it with David McCormick. Like, he would piss me off every single... I would be so angry if I was a KU fan watching David McCormick. I can't fathom what it's like to be a KU fan and watch him every single night. He makes me mad. I don't even cheer for him. He makes me angry and upset. UKU fans are also really hard on Christian Brown, too. And I don't really get why you're so hard on Christian Brown. This is where I kind of think being from the area kind of hurts him a little bit. And he'd be better if he was just some random kid from Iowa. You guys like really hard on Christian Brown. I don't really get why. It doesn't make any sense to me. I try not to get inside the minds and heads of KU fans. It's a very dark and dangerous place. I try not to do it. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. This is my question to the text line. I have a lot of questions today. I've been gone for a while. I have a lot of questions. Have you guys ever been anywhere? I don't mean that negatively. I understand everybody's finances are different. Everybody grew up in a different situation. Maybe you didn't get a chance to travel. There's a point in my life that going to St. Louis was like a really big deal. You know, we didn't take a lot of family trips when I was really young. You know, we went to Six Flags and Hurricane Harbor once a year, and it was a big deal to go to St. Louis. I'm not making fun of anybody and how they grew up. But looking at the way that Kansas City is lining up for Whataburger makes me think that you guys, nobody has ever been anywhere. You've never been on vacation. You've never lived anywhere else. You've never gone to visit family anywhere else. Why are we acting this way for Whataburger?
Yeah, good morning to you guys. We have seen some cops already out early this morning getting things set up for the opening of this Whataburger restaurant here behind me. We've also seen customers getting in line. If you take a look here, there's two cars right here that are parked and ready to go with people in them. But I want to show you the first car that came here this morning was all decked out with Whataburger bumper stickers here on the side and in the back of the car here. It was a nice good one here, Whataburger since 1950. And the woman inside this car is none other than Laura Ferguson, who's right here next to us. Good morning to you, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great, great. All right, so show us your sweater that you're wearing. You're decked out here in the Whataburger gear.
I am in my 2021 Christmas sweater. And, of course, in my nice socks that I have that match.
Yeah, so you are from Texas, right? This is Whataburger's like life for you here almost.
This woman was out at Whataburger at 4 o'clock in the morning for their grand opening, the one in Independence. There was another person that got there yesterday at 8 o'clock. Now, I say this as someone who loves Whataburger. It's fantastic. I actually drove by the one in Lee Summit. I was going to take my sister. She was in town. She wanted to go. You would think they're giving the food away at the beginning of the line, how long the line is. Rob, they have like a special traffic plan for Whataburger. I'm not joking. For those of you who have been to the one over on Douglas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They have a special traffic. They have signs up, cones. You can't go in some of the entrances. It's a 45-minute wait. The Independence one's the exact same. Why are we acting like this? Kansas City, we're better than this. We are an elite food city. I would put our cuisine and our dining up against any city of a comparable population. I'm not saying we're LA or Chicago or New York, you know, elite, first class, like world class cities when it comes to dining. I'm not saying we're that, but cities, let's say 15 and down in terms of population in this country, I'd put our cuisine up against anybody's. Against anybody's. Why are we doing this for Whataburger? Have you never had it before? Like, at some point, you went to go see grandma down in Oklahoma and you stopped. At some point, you went to go see your cousin in Dallas and you got Whataburger. I didn't know it was this big of a deal. And I was really excited about it. But I didn't know we were lining up like it was the zombie apocalypse at the Whataburger. I didn't know we wanted it this badly. I didn't know this. We're not treating Culver's this way. So I'm just Kansas City, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed that we've behaved this way for Whataburger. Person was out there yesterday at 8 p.m. Go spend time with your family.
That's probably why they were out there. Long weekend, got to get away from the family.
Got to sneak away. What are y'all doing? I know you guys have been. I know you've been to the big city before. Why are we acting this way? I'm ashamed to say I'm from here. Waiting an hour in line for a spicy chicken sandwich from Whataburger. Shameful behavior. Shameful. Sick. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is an honor and a privilege to be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch Holthus, he's so famous, he would just skip the line. He wouldn't have to wait in line at Whataburger. It's a draft.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.